Welcome to the Reality Revolution. I'm your host, Brian Scott. Today I have some wonderful channelings from Kuo talking about how we create our reality, what process is involved, and I've always found the Kuo material to be a little bit different when it comes to the aspects of creating reality, because they're integrating the ideas of service and the law of one into it. So there's a lot more than, yeah, you can create your reality, but you're also dealing with catalyst in your environment around you. So I enjoy some of these discussions on a much deeper level. We get a channeling delivered on January 20th, 2002. The question today has to do with the concept of how we create our experience, our reality, by the way we think, by the way we believe. We would like for Kuo to give us any indication as to whether that might be correct, and if it is, how does that work? We would like to have more information on how we can create a more harmonious reality. Carla Channeling says, "We are those known to you as the principle of Kuo, and we greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator whose service we share with you. We thank you for forming a circle of seeking on this snowy day. It is a blessing to us to respond to your request for thoughts on the notion that beliefs can change your future. We are aware that in the sense that the world sees things, this may be very difficult to grasp. However, we believe it is correct, and we would be glad to share some thoughts about it. First of all, we must remember the creation that you experience, and the creation that, shall we say, is the reality of which the creation is the illusion, are very, very close together, but are not the same thing. The illusion is as close as a heartbeat to reality, but is invested with physicality so that you are actually a traveler in two worlds at the same time. The world of your outer experience and the world of your inner experience, to suggest that the inner experience influences the outer experience would not be to suggest something very unusual. For it is clear to all those in the circle how much difference a person's attitude can make with regard to most situations faced. Certainly it is easy to see the glad smile or the way of making light of some perceived difficulty will always create an atmosphere of the people around one, if not the self, to feel better about an existing situation. Wherever the self or other people are concerned, the words said create not just an atmosphere but a feeling, and that feeling predisposes the inner self in ways that are difficult to see. Looking from the eyes of the world, in actuality, even that reality that you sense, that is a heartbeat away from the illusion, is not the end of the seeking for reality, for each of you is a part of a group oversoul, shall we say, or a larger self that contains many seeming individuals that are not the self, but in actuality are part of the self. And these larger entities are part of even larger entities until you get to the level of planets and sun bodies and the kind of entities that have many orders of magnitude beyond the one that you now experience. All of these orders of reality are alike reality and illusion. However, the level at which one is working is very difficult to pin down in words, because in no case will it be that which is congruent with the outer reality, which is an illusion. Consequently, a great deal of the path of seeking the truth is, as the one known as R said, discovering the depth of the truth that one cannot control all things in order for the self to feel comfortable. For the self will never feel comfortable. For all things cannot be controlled, and most things are not even supposed to be controlled. That is, we suggest to you that the apparent chances and changes of an everyday life have elements of excellence in all of the offerings spread before your experience each day, not simply the seemingly fortunate happenstances, but also those accidents and misfortunes which seem to be quite the opposite of fortunate and seem to be ill-starred and unlucky or even tragic. The way the illusion is set up is almost guaranteed to make it impossible for you to be able to control the inner universe. It is a situation where the outer personality shell attempts to order things so that the self will be comfortable. This is the usual choice for entities. They attempt to control the environment for comfort and for perceived goals that have to do with security and protection. The film that this entity was talking about earlier is an offering by a scientist who suggests that the role of the physical things that make up the body, the genetic structure of the body, is not as controlling and elective as it appears from the outside in. That what one has in the genetic structure of the self as inherited appearance is not necessarily that which must be experienced. This entity explained that these genetic structures have a garment, and that garment is kept over the genetic structure in such a way that it does not appear or become activated in the life experience as long as this covering is allowed to remain over the genetic structure. This covering is made of proteins. These proteins are excited by incoming signals which cause these proteins to express themselves, first by electrical pulse, then by the exciting of the precise proteins that the electricity encourages, and then another electrical pulse to complete the errand started by the protein, which come to either uncovering the genetic structure and causing it to be triggered, or leaving it as it is. The entity was simply saying that the belief of the person has the actual physical power to change the input signal that electrifies the proteins, and that this change in belief will change the reaction of the physical body, so that if there is a tendency towards cancer in the family, by figuring out what positive things keep that sleeve on the cancer gene and figuring out what things to avoid to keep from taking that sleeve off, that gene, that cancer gene, never needs to be excited, never needs to be uncovered, and never needs to be experienced. This is the basic idea behind this approach to attempting to bring the outer world and the inner world into one and create the reality that we would prefer rather than the reality that we see in our genetic structures and our heritage from our parents. This is the sense of this videotape that the instrument was talking about earlier. This is sound in terms of your own world science. It is also sound in terms of what we believe to be so. It is very difficult for us to get into the real nitty-gritty of how you can talk to yourself as opposed to how someone else will talk to himself or herself. Each person has habits of mind which are not, shall we say, of the most hopeful or positive point of view. And with each person, there are different areas. These areas are very quirky, as this instrument would say. It is very much a matter of the day, the hour, the mood, and the catalyst within the life in any one day, as to what areas of the thinking that you do in talking to yourself you get into, what mistakes that you make in that particular day. And are they mistakes indeed? For if you are telling yourself something that is disempowering, like, I don't think that I can do this job, perhaps you are telling yourself that so that you can stop and take a good look at the job and really ask yourself, is this the job I want to do? Or with a relationship, to ask yourself, is this the footing on which I want to be? Or is there another footing that would not only be more skillful, but actually make me a happier camper, a happier person, a more efficacious human being, one that is more capable of learning, loving, serving, and all those things that you hope to do? So I suppose that what we are saying is that it is true beyond our ability to prove it, that what you think to yourself, what you say to those about you, has, to the extent that you believe what you're saying, or that you do not believe to the contrary, a power over your future. The question of time is most confusing, but is very relevant to this discussion, because it is the nature of how time flows that is critical to the grasping of how it is possible for something as invisible as thought to affect physicality. So our first statement is simply that you may take it on faith. And if you have faith that this is so, and work with a will to discovering how to talk to yourself and how to talk to those about you in order to express what you most truly think is true, what you most deeply feel to be the case. Consequently, we are not suggesting that it is possible to look at a situation where a house is on fire and say, "This is perfect." This will not stop the house from burning down. We will agree completely that thought concerning a seemingly unfortunate situation will not change the structure of that situation, at least not in the physical. However, think about the last time that you heard of someone who came through a fire. What were they saying? They're probably saying, "Thank God that my wife and children are safe. All we lost was the house." Somehow, it is the function of bad fortune not to create a tragedy in people's lives, but to open possibilities for thankfulness and for positive change. It might be a terrible opportunity for positive change to see one's house burn up or to see other disasters strike. Yet at the same time, with the gift of hindsight, one is able to look back on such passages through difficulty, and one is able to pinpoint the real quality and appreciated nuances of that experience that seemed in the present moment to be a dreadful thing, but seen from the future looking backwards, becoming almost the opposite, almost a boon, almost a point of fortune because of the learnings and the maturity that were gained during the experience. So when faced with something that you perceive to be a difficulty, we are not suggesting that you put on rose-colored glasses and say that the difficulty is not a difficulty. Rather, what we encourage is that thoughtful approach that is willing to accept the two-natured quality of all apparent experience. There is an outer quality to the experience, and that is what you are seeing, feeling, tasting, touching, sensing in that way. There's also an inner quality to this experience. This inner quality is a very subtle thing, and not a simple one. It is made up of the way you are at the moment on the surface personality level, plus those deeper levels of the self, where you have let some sunlight into the deeper parts of the self, where you are aware of some of your geographies of mood and emotion that have created themselves into structures in your inner life. You might be in that inner structure where you are comfortable and you are in a role that you might enjoy. You might be in a structure where you do not have everything explored yet. You are still the seeker, the discoverer of the self. You may be at that level where much is unknown and where you may feel relatively uncomfortable, yet you feel that you are in a very true part of the self. It is just one that you have not become fully acquainted with yet. And these structures of familiar roles and unfamiliar roles, old things and new things, create a kind of three-dimensionality to the inner life that is almost impossible to put into words. But we feel that you grasp what we are trying to say, that there is in the self that comes to the moment a great deal more than what meets the eye. Not just the personality meeting the day, but the personality at a certain point in a very long journey, with a lot of energy behind that journey and a lot of energy in front of that journey. And you're just picking a point in the illusion to come into awareness and have this lifetime and have these experiences. And so you are just sort of sticking up into the outer reality with this physical vehicle and this personality shell and this enormous weight of many, many lifetimes, many, many experiences, and many desires fulfilled and yet unfulfilled. This is each seeker's situation as the awakening occurs. Again and again, there is the awareness that the situation is far more than a simple present moment, and that the full reaction to that present moment is coming from places near and far within the self, so that the self that meets the moment is always a unique individual, unique to the day, that time, that mood, that catalyst. We do not see time as you see time. We see time in more of a circle. We see your experiences as circles within that circle. And we see all of it with much more capacity to allow for the complexity of the true situation without needing to define it. Consequently, we find it much easier to have, shall we say, a pleasant experience. We are not in the dense physicality that blocks much of the vision that you have in an inner sense. It blocks it specifically because you are supposed to be thrown off balance and disturbed by the illusion. You are supposed to become involved and lose your objectivity and make mistakes. And when you do that, you feel that you have failed. And at the same time, you're fulfilling each desire of your heart, just not in the order and with the comfort that you had perhaps intended. Yet all of these things that seem to crop up in the present are a mixture of those things that happen in the outer world without any rhyme or reason. The weather, the car breaking, and so forth, and those things that happen for a great many inner reasons that create situations where it will be a totally different experience. If there is poor weather, or if the car breaks because of the richness of your inner experience and the way that it has delivered you to the present moment. Now, in this present moment, you are sowing the seeds of a future. And this is where it gets interesting from our point of view, because of the fact that this is what so many of those who have awakened have come here specifically to do at this time. And that is to make a difference in the future of your planet in the short run. And the difference has to do with how each individual seeker sees the present and sees the future. And here's where the self-fulfilling prophecy comes into play. It is easy enough to see that if this entity named Carla can smile when she is in pain, she affects the lives of those around her to the point where, as they did before this meditation, they asked this instrument, "How is it that you can feel pain and not react?" To this instrument, it was not a question easily answered, because as far as this instrument knew, she was reacting to pain. She simply was apparently better than she thought at keeping it to herself. This is true of each of you. Each of you has these areas that other people think, "Oh, that person is doing very well." But to you yourself, you are aware of the gap between that which was hoped for and that which was achieved in terms of the quality of the personal response of that moment. The quality of the response of the heart to consciousness itself. But we say to you that each of you is a tremendously powerful fulcrum, and the present is the pivot. What you do in this present moment with regards to your belief about the future of humankind will redound either to the safe birthing of the planet Earth into fourth density positive, with all of the inhabitants of the planet more or less kept safe, or it will redound to a global catastrophe where all of the magnetic fluxes which are presently unstable will become stabilized. Either future is at this time, as far as we can see, entirely possible. The future is in the hands of you, and you, and you, each of you. And it is within the belief system of each of you. Think how one person who chooses to bring faith into the present moment, to bring the love of the heart into the present moment, affects that present moment and affects the mood of those about that person that is expressing love and light. Think about those moments in your own life when you have found that moment of grace and won through to a good attitude, and how empowered you did feel, and how it did change the outward reality simply because you had risen to the occasion with a happy heart. Think of how you have blighted your own life in times when you have taken the negative view and talked yourself deeper and deeper into sadness and sorrow and despair. It is not always possible to create the future in big, bold strokes. It is not always possible to express in a day, in a week, in a month, or in a year the beauty that you are capable of appreciating in even one moment. It seems on a thousand different levels that the treasure of life and its beauty were falling away far quicker than life's difficulties and travails. We suggest that for the faithful one, the path lies in continuing to play the hand that you were dealt, to enjoy the weather that the day holds, to deal with those chores that seem to need to be dealt with as best you can, and retain insofar as you can, beyond all of those things, a remembrance that has nothing to do with what has happened, a remembrance that is stubborn against seeming reality, a remembrance of an internal reality that to you overmatches the pale colors of the physical world. And that is the inner world of your own heart, your own soul, your own spirit. When you are quiet in those moments that come to be so treasured, when they do come, you feel the truth of the self, the beauty of your sweetheart, the strength of your soul, and the power that is within you. Rest in so far as you can in the memory of those moments when you did feel connected to the Creator, when you did feel that you were part of the love that is all that there is, when you had the connections that made you unified, positive, and hopeful. A life in faith is not a life in which the faith is always expressed. Rather, it is a life that is full of mistakes that, when self-perceived, are addressed with the best that the self has to address those perceived mistakes. If you have the willingness to retain that sense of self when everything else goes wrong, and to win through after all the difficulties and emotions have been expressed to the remembrance of that self, then you will be living a good spiritual life. For it is not living smoothly and wisely in all things being even that is the hallmark of the rich spiritual life, but rather it is that often challenged self, that self that is held accountable after being comforted and comforted after being held accountable. That is where the skill lies, in not giving up upon the self and not giving up because of perceived failure, but rather in seeing that one cannot see at all times into the pattern that lies beneath the seeming chaos of the day. That remembrance is enough to keep your faithful or faith-filled with regards to the future. It is as though the remembrance of the self beyond all of the mental and emotional patterns, the remembrance of that spiritual self, the remembrance of those times of connection with the Creator, enables the self to pick itself up, brush itself off, and try again. And there is that skill with which the future will become a positive and ever more shining thing, that bare remembrance of who you are and what the process is all about. It is not about creating beautiful moments, although it is wonderful to create beautiful moments. It is about being real as the self can be, and that will often lead one astray, that will often lead one to errors and judgment, self-perceived by the self, to wrong decisions, self-perceived by the self. The more the thought is taken, the more the mentality is invoked to rationalize and to analyze, the less the self will be able to connect with those deeper strata of internal structures, which actually are slowing up the deeper patterns of life in your incarnation in terms of the larger strokes of life, the relationships, the jobs, the situations that are seen to continue for year to year and constitute continuing lessons for the self. You are not a solid. You are a vibration. You are an energy field that has connections to absolutely all other energy fields in the universe. You are connected to them through a series of orders of magnitude and reality that are understandable only from the larger viewpoint. Many times within the life experience, you will not be able to see how a certain situation could possibly be one in which love abides. This is always the question to turn to, that one offered by the ones of Ra. Where is the love in this moment? This is a question that is always productive, that one may ask the self in a crux in the present, and by finding where the love lies for you in this moment and placing yourself there, there is how you affect the future. You are choosing what you desire because you desire it. That is understood, but in terms of responding to that which is given, you have the skill and you have the chance at each offering to ask the self, where is the metaphysical structure of this moment? What speaks to me from a larger point of view that really informs me of the situation? The one known as R suggested the fear contracting around the vehicle breaking down and needing to be fixed, even though the financial situation was no longer so tight that this constituted an actual emergency, yet still, even though money could now be spent on the car and it simply needed to be fixed, there is the contraction around the event simply because of old impulses, old emotions have set a pattern of belief. Now, you may continue having that pattern and fearing and being glad when a repair is accomplished, or one can take the opportunity, as the one known as R has done, to ask the self, is this actually the best pattern for me to go through this experience holding? Or should I perhaps hold a different pattern since my illusion has actually changed? Naturally, we agree. We would suggest that the one known as R create a new pattern, one that makes this entity comfortable with having to deal with the necessary maintenance of all that is physical for those things which are within your illusion have as their heart mortality, though it is known beforehand that all machines and engines will not work and they will have to be repaired. This is the inevitable price of being in the illusion at all. Your time is limited, and the time for you to think about what you truly desire for the future is limited. This is indeed the hour when all entities who wish to serve the light can feel assured that their service will count. Each of you is here upon Earth, as are we, within the influence of your Earth's inner planes, because of the exciting and interesting times in which you live. Each is aware of the powerful wind of change. Each is aware of the potential of the future for good or for ill. How shall you react to this present moment? How shall your beliefs create your future? We assure you that you each have a great deal of power, and it is a power that is precious for many, many upon planet Earth at this time. This is a crowning incarnation. This is the end of a pattern, or the potential end of a pattern, and the beginning of a new pattern. It is a very exciting time. It is a difficult time. Each of you has, shall we say, sacrificed a great deal to be upon Earth at this time, to do what you could do to serve the light. So we just encourage you to take heart. You are on course. Those efforts that you sense will be helpful are those efforts that you should focus on, opening the mind always for new ways, but trusting in your own inner feelings and hunches, those intuitions that tell you that yes, this is where I should be, and this is what I should be doing, all is well. You truly do hold a world in your mind. May your birth within your own mind, that sense of self that is at peace with what is, and that seeks only the presence of the one infinite creator and the witness to the infinite creator, to yourself, and to the world about you, as you are given the light, so to act. Each of you has much to give. Each of you has inspiration to share. Some in one way, some in another. Some by pounding nails, some by walking streets. Some by what they say, some by what they do to serve. Everyone is a part of an incredibly rich pattern in which you are involved in all of humankind and all of the life within your density and within all the densities of this creation and of all creations beyond. Allow yourself to rest in the oneness of all that is. Allow yourself respite and comfort, and yet at the same time ask of yourself always to be responsible when you have the light, to see that responsibility and notice simply the responsibility to be who you are and to be true. Jim then begins to channel and they ask, I'm kind of curious to where Quo spent its third density experience. What can you tell us about it? I am Quo and am aware of your query, my brother. As you may be aware, we of the principle of Quo are a principle because we are of more than one source or origin. Those of Latui, who are of the density of light, have joined with those of Hatan, of the density of love, and also have joined with those of Ra, of the density of unity. Those of Ra, as you are aware, experienced their third density upon the planet which you call Venus, and were honored to have a most efficient experience within the third density of Venus. The many entities which formed the eventual social memory complex of Venus had a most harmonious third density upon that planetary sphere and moved quickly, shall we say, through that experience, with a significant portion achieving graduation within the first cycle of 25,000 years, a larger portion achieving graduation during the second cycle, and the third cycle saw the joining of the social memory complex by all of the population of that sphere. Those of Hatton and those of Latui had somewhat similar third density experiences upon planets which are distant from this solar system and which are as yet undiscovered by your astronomers. Thus, the name or place of such is meaningless, yet each social memory complex has found the third density experience to be that which has produced the tempering of seeking, and the fire of the testing was intense and true, and we have been privileged to become that which you call quo for the purpose of these transmissions at this time. Is there any other question, my brother? With all these different originating points, how do you meet or come together to become a principle? I am Quo, and I'm aware of your query, my brother. As a planetary population moves from the third density, the density of choice, into the density of compassion, love, and understanding, there is at that time the obvious blending of each individual within the social memory complex. And this blending is assisted by those, what you would call angelic presences, or teachers and guides, which represent the confederation of planets in the service of the one infinite creator. This confederation then, when there is the opportunity to offer membership, shall we say, to a new social memory complex, does so by sending emissaries of light to acquaint the potential members with the opportunity to expand their service to others and to the one creator by becoming a part of this confederation of planets. And in this confederation, there is the opportunity to blend energies, efforts, and services with many other social memory complexes. The formation of the principle, which you call Quo, has been an effort to maintain contact with this group by those who have previously served this group in a particular fashion. Those of Hatton have offered introductory messages for many years through this group and through many others as well upon this planetary sphere. This is true also for those of Latui, although to a lesser degree for those of Latui are more, shall we say, silent in that they serve as what you would call comforter for many individual seekers upon this planetary sphere and others as well. Those of Ra have had contact with this group in previous times and were desirous of maintaining a contact, however stepped down it was necessary to be, so there could be the continuing of the service which was begun more than two of your decades ago. Is there any other query, my brother? When do you perceive that conditions would be right for making a more direct contact? Anytime soon? I am Quo, and I'm aware of your query, my brother, and we do not see any more direct contact with the population of this planet or any portion of it than that contact which we are now honored to pursue. Is there another query, my brother? My understanding is that Venus is not indigenous to this solar system. We understand that it is from 19 light years away. Was Ra's experience before or after Venus became a wandering planet? I am Quo, and am aware of your query, my brother. We are aware that there are many theories as to the origin of each of the planetary spheres in this solar system. There are many who seek to be of service by giving information of one kind or another. The transmission in many cases has been tenuous and occasionally misinterpreted. We are not aware of the planetary sphere which you call Venus having been of any other origin than the solar system in which it now moves and has its being. Is there any other query, my brother? No. Just curious. Information from another channel that I was curious about. Thanks. I am Quo, and we thank you again, my brother. We do appreciate each query which this group offers to us at those circles of seeking, for we are aware that each entity does have within it the great desire to pursue those areas of mystery and the unknown. For both within and without each seeker, there is an abundance of mystery. It is the purpose and the focus of the mind to seek those answers to queries which the heart asks. However, there are often more opportunities when both mind and heart are opened in harmony. We are known to you as those of Quo. At this time, we would take our leave of this instrument and this group. We leave each of you in the love and in the ineffable light of the one infinite creator. Adonai, my friends. Adonai. And I have to say, just looking back over this channeling, this might be my favorite channeling from Quo. It's just bare bones, straight to it. Great question. How do we create our reality? And it really does bring up a lot of the paradoxes that are involved in reality creation and understanding how we're creating it moment by moment and why we're here, and that it's okay to accept chaos. We create our reality, but we also wake up every day and experience new things. And when we have mistakes happen and unusual events happen, sometimes those are things that are good when we look back on them. And there is a structure to the third density environment that makes it incredibly difficult to control. And once we let go of the idea that we can control all the variables, to me personally, that's when we can start to control our reality. But this is on another level of reality creation, and I really enjoyed it. I'd love to get your impressions. Very interesting answer to the question at the end. I would love to know about the planets that Latwi or Hatan are on, and hopefully one day our astronomers will find them. But in any case, I'd love to know your impressions of this. We create our reality through our beliefs every moment, and we can create a future. And don't forget it, you can get locked into a reactive, self-fulfilling prophecy all the time. Or you can just remember that what you're imagining and what you're feeling and what you're believing now is going to be your reality in the future. And you stay with that. I have met the very best reality creators, some incredible manifestors, and they all struggle. And they continue to struggle. Yeah, there's people that are really good at it, but it's a tough game that never ends. You're constantly creating. You're either in alignment or out of alignment, constantly moving towards or away from what you're creating. And it's an ongoing process that has an amazing amount of complexity to it. And we are learning lessons in each moment that we do this. In any case, you can find all the episodes of The Reality Revolution at therealityrevolution.com, and all the Quo episodes are in the Quo playlist in the description. Thank you so much. I'm sending love and light to everyone listening. And welcome to the Reality Revolution.